Hey, happy Sunday, everybody. It's a great day, isn't it? How many are ready and waiting for Jesus Christ to return? Are you ready? Woo! I am ready. I'm waiting on it. It's going to be a great day. And just want to, first of all, before I go any further, I am so like pumped today because this past week, some dear friends that we met many years ago in Bradford, England. There you go. Now, Catherine, you stand up. I want them to see you. This is Catherine, that the girl I was telling you about that just went to Nepal, which Isaac and Paul Hubbard are now in Nepal holding a conference. Today, I think it started. Anyway, and Pastor Adam and Faye came from Bradford to tend the church. Well, anyway, it's complicated. But I told them about you, so please say hello to them afterwards. Where are you from in England, Catherine?
I was born in Wakefield.
Wakefield, just down the road a piece. That's how we say it here. But great folks, great church in Bradford. Of course, that's the hometown of Smith Wigglesworth, right? I think it is. He's buried there somewhere. I never did make it to the grave there, but I guess it's just like any other grave. It's a grave, right? But I want to ask Pastor Adam to come and to greet you. And Christian Life Church, of course, originated at first, I think Paul Hubbard started it, turned it over to them as pastors now for a number of years, 7 or 8 years. And they've got 4 lovely children, Joshua, Isaac, Samuel, Alyssa, it was coming, and but anyway, would you give them a God bless you? They're just going to come. Come on, Pastor. Come on, Faye. Just say hello. Come on, Faye. Let's greet the people, man. We're so glad you're here. Aren't they darling looking? They're just amazing. Yeah.
It's so wonderful to be here. I think it was about probably 8 years that we were last with Pastor Louis and Pastor Tina. And just a delight to have some time to spend with you. So welcome from Bradford, where it's snowing. So I think we got your snow, and you got our the rest of the weather. But yeah, you know what? You are really blessed to be in a house that is led by these two. They have such a spirit of love and excellence that I really admire. And I wanted to come along today to be with them, to sit under Pastor Louis' teaching, and to see what I could learn. I've been looking around, noticing a few things that I'll take back with me. You know, there's always things you can learn. Every situation, every place you go, there's always things you can learn. And yeah, I'm sure you will learn much, even this morning, as Pastor Louis teaches. So I think you should probably get on with it.
Well, let Faye say something, please.
Yeah, well, hello. yeah, it's just a delight to be with family. You know, we all serve and love the same God. And it's just a privilege and an honor to be with you and, yeah, to worship with you and to learn with you. And so thank you for welcoming us. So, yeah, I have a real spirit and a heart for worship. I love worship and express that in lots of different ways. So it's lovely to be that with you. So thank you.
All right, welcome. Good, nice to have you guys here. You can just take that with you. Adam, a tremendous teacher and preacher, travels around the world, as well as Faye is a composer. They're entrepreneurs. They started business in their church as well. I mean, they're just really cutting-edge apostolic people. So if you get a chance to go over and say hi to them, welcome them, I think that would be appropriate, don't you? You know, the other day, Tina said, I need to stop at Target or something. I can't remember what store it was. And she said, but I might be right out, so don't go far. Because if the lines are long, I'm not waiting. I thought, okay, I get it. And then the other day, she said, I found these perfect frames for the pictures. You know, we've got 14 grandkids, so you need a lot of picture frames. And she wants them to match, of course, right? Got to have them to match. So she found them, and they matched. They were perfect size. She said, I waited in line, and I waited in line. And then finally, I put the picture frames over there by the Snicker bars and walked out of the store. Have you ever been in line waiting for something, and then at some point you determine, my time is not worth this picture frame, right? And sometimes that's how we feel, but I'm going to introduce to you a couple of people in just a moment that didn't get tired of waiting. And I hope you're not tired of waiting either when it comes to the appearing of Christ in your life. Yes, he's coming again. Yeah, we're waiting for Christmas and the kids are all excited. No problem with that. But I want us to posture ourselves and wait for the move of the Holy Spirit moment by moment in our life. We live for that, don't we? We live and move and have our being in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was reported October 28th in the national headlines that a gentleman had pitched a tent outside of one of the Best Buy stores. That's where they sell all the TVs and appliances and all that. Because he felt that it was worth the wait for Black Friday. Now, I think Black Friday was like November 26th. He pitched a tent October 28th. I felt bad for the man. I was going to go to him and say, look, I don't know how much you're saving on that big screen TV, but let me give you $200. Go home. You know, don't hang out there for 30 days. And literally, he did. He was first in line. But he deemed it as worth the wait. Little boy was making out his list of all of the gifts that he wanted for Christmas. And he was writing a letter to, you know, the big guy, Santa Claus. He said, dear Santa, I'm not going to ask for a lot. First of all, I want to etch a sketch, but I want the animated version, please. Plus, I need 2 packs of No. 2 pencils for school. And if you can, those Crayola fat markers, throw those in too. Now, my big gift, Santa, I want you to remember, I want the 70-inch smart television for my bedroom. And he wrote this down to Santa. And he said, I guess he started feeling bad about it or something, because at the end he said, well, I don't want to appear selfish, so if you have to, you can forget about the No. 2 pencils. Anybody know any children like that? We're going to go to Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to introduce to you a couple of people in that chapter that will never appear on a Hallmark Christmas card or special during the holiday season. You're never going to see them as the characters in a Christmas pageant either. To my knowledge, in all of the years I've been serving God, for 41 years, I've never seen these two people depicted in any of the Christmas pageants. However, they're listed in Luke chapter 2. What a great chapter that introduces the coming of the Lord. The Holy Spirit really spoke to me the other day and he said, joy to the world. And I said, yeah. And he goes, no. He said, joy to your world. And I just want to speak this over you today. Do not allow the enemy to convince you that you don't deserve joy that comes right from heaven. Your life may have been in a mess. It may have a lot of sorrow in it. But sorrow only lasts for the night, because joy comes in the morning. And if you'll be so kind to tap somebody next to you, just gently, don't hurt them, and say, your joy is about to come, because joy to your world. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 25. I want to read a couple of verses. I'm not going to read the entire text. We'll get to some of it, but let's read it together. Can we do that? Let's try it. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Man, do I like that verse, Pastor Adam. Because when you posture yourself to wait in the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. When I got up this morning, I determined that I cannot do my day without the Holy Spirit. I lift my hands, I welcome him. The moment I have a consciousness about me coming out of my stupor, my sleep, I say, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. I acknowledge you today in my life. because I am waiting for the appearing of Jesus, not necessarily in the sky in the same manner that he went according to Acts chapter 1 and 8. I'm looking for the appearance of Jesus in the moving of the Spirit of God, the nudging of God's voice, his word that is being revealed to me, someone's kindness or their gestures toward me. It is Jesus, would you might want to say, with skin on. When somebody can manifest the presence of God in my life, Grandma Rose, that was Jesus with skin on this morning, because Mercy said no. And I had to lean over to Troy. I said, Troy, get the lyrics of that word. And when I go to heaven, you preach that at my funeral. The devil came to steal the body of Caton, but Mercy stepped in and said, not on my watch. I just felt that sermon. I'm like, Mercy said no. He said, oh, Dad. I said, man, that's a good sermon. You know, the devil wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy, but Mercy says what? No. But notice that. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. You'll find the same term in verse 38, looking forward to. It really means waiting or looking forward to, or to be alert to his appearance and ready to welcome him. To be alert to his appearance and ready to welcome him. Did you know that God wants to make an appearance in our life every moment, every day? I don't want you just to think you have to wait till you get to a church meeting or some Bible study or where two or three are gathered, there Jesus is in the midst. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And you and I can wait just like Simeon for the appearing of Jesus Christ into our life. Maybe he needs to appear in your life, in your physical health. Maybe in your marriage, maybe in your business plans, maybe in your future, maybe in your ministry. But know this, if you'll just open up and say, Holy Spirit, I want you to come, he will come. If you posture yourself to look for the appearing of Jesus Christ in your life. That's what Simeon was doing. The scripture tells us that Simeon was looking for something that was unique. Now, some of us came to church here today. I don't know what you're looking for. Maybe you're looking for healing. Maybe you're looking for friendship. Maybe you're looking for a man. I think you just stole my sermon right there. Or maybe you're looking for trouble. We all come looking for something unique to our own experience, to our own life. Simeon was looking for consolation or comfort. Did you know that comfort is a universal need? It doesn't matter if you live in America or you live in England or you're in Nepal this morning. There are people there who need to be comforted. Comfort is a universal need. The nations of this earth need to be comforted today. And there is only one comforter. Simeon was looking for him. You know, this desire to be comforted, because sometimes you feel lonely. You could be in the large assembly of people and still feel like you're the only one in the room. You could feel like nobody cares, nobody understands, nobody knows you're even existing. And you need comforted. You could be here today feeling empty, feeling unfulfilled, feeling as though that there's no purpose in your life. You need comforted. Maybe today you're insecure, wondering if you'll be accepted, wondering if you measure up, if you're worthy enough. Are you as anointed as someone else? And you begin to measure yourself based on others. And you compare yourself based on others. And you just need to be comforted. Or maybe you're here today because you're depressed. And you've struggled with life. And you've been disappointed. And people have hurt you. People have let you down. Leaders that you thought better of, they didn't measure up. The expectations of other people that you placed upon them, and they fell short. And today you came to church looking for consolation. But I want you to know that today your choice to come here was not really your own. Because the scripture is going to show to us in Luke chapter 2 that Simeon just didn't go to church that day because he thought, I just go to church today because I think it's the thing to do. No, as a matter of fact, in verse 27, and I want you to see this verse, Luke chapter 2. He came by the Spirit into the temple. Now leave that verse up, and I want to just spend a moment here because Simeon got up this morning like many of us, and the Holy Spirit moved on you to be here. The Holy Spirit put it in your mind. The Holy Spirit arranged your schedule. The Holy Spirit provided the transportation. The Holy Spirit connected you and networked with the right people that invited you. The Holy Spirit put it on your calendar. Because the Holy Spirit came upon Simeon and told him to go into the temple. Now, Simeon had a habit of going into the temple. It's something he did all the time. And just perhaps that day, he might have said, I'm a little tired. It's been a long week. I don't think I'm going to go today. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not suggesting you have to be at the church every time the doors open. But I do want you to see this text. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And is a very important word in that text because it joins the thought of the Holy Spirit bringing him to the temple with what happened next. The parents brought in the child Jesus on the same day that the Holy Spirit moved on Simeon to come. It wasn't a coincidence that Simeon showed up at church the same day that the Holy Spirit brought Jesus to the same place. And how many know that Simeon came to church looking for consolation? And how many know the Holy Spirit brought Joseph and Mary with the consoler, with the comforter, with the one that could meet every need and bring the fulfillment into Simeon's life? And God said, this is a setup. Now don't look at your neighbor. Just say it out of the corner of your eye. You're being set up. I don't want you to make them nervous. If you look right at them, they'll be like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Did you say hold up? No, set up. Just said, no hold up here. Isn't that crazy? You know, God already knew what you had need of before you got here today. And my heart goes out to people that are hurt, depressed, in need of comfort. My heart goes out to individuals who feel lonely. And don't fit. Feel like they don't measure up. Feel like they're not a part or don't have any contribution to make. And you're looking for consolation. God has arranged for you to be in church today just at the right time. And you're about to have an encounter. Because you cannot be in the same place where Jesus is and leave the same. Simeon was about to have his fulfillment of what he was looking for. Now just hold that thought for a minute. Let's look at one other individual. You're not going to see him on a Hallmark card. You're not going to see him in a special. They're not going to be in the Christmas pageant. But her name is Anna. Now Anna has been to church a long time. Probably 60-some years. Because she was only married for 7 years and her husband died. And she determined that after he died, she's never going to leave church. No, I'm not talking about there once or twice a week. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Would you look at it with me? Luke chapter 2, verse 36 through 38. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. Now, let me help you with this. From now on, anybody call me old, and we're going to fight. You can call me of great age. I like that. There are pastors of great age. That has like a nice ring to it. But don't say, yeah, our pastor, he's that old guy. Oh, no, I'm going to hurt you. I'm starting to work out again. I'm lifting 2-pound weights. Whoop. Don't laugh at me. It's been a journey. I got 2 pounds up in the air. I'm like, whoop, whoop. It's a good thing. I even ran 2 miles the other day. I did. When I finished, my toe said, why did you do that? Like, I don't know. Just reminded me that the pain's still there. My little grandson, Louis, he was, you know, pretty stout. Big boy, 2 years old. Came up to me today and wanted me to pick him up. And I reached for him and put my arms under his and started to lift his weight. And my shoulder said, I don't think we want to do that. I didn't even think about the vulnerability of my shoulder. But that's how we get caught off guard with sometimes the pains in our life from the past. We're not even thinking about it. Something happens. Somebody says something. Something occurs and oof, man, that hurts. Now, I have not really seen any pretty toes in my entire life. I don't know why God made them, but they're all like nubby looking and ugly. Now, you may have beautiful toes, but I don't want to look at them to see, so don't even show me. I had a bone removed out of my second toe on my right foot. It's still swollen. It was ugly before I had the surgery. But if you were to see it now, ugly ain't never going away. It is there forever. But did you know that you can't tell? Because I have it covered up. And I can walk as if it's not bothering me. Now, every step I take, I feel it, but you don't know that. So I can act as if I'm not feeling any pain. And I could greet you and be around you, and you'd never know that I've got an ugly toe right there, swollen and hurting. You wouldn't know that. You probably wouldn't sit next to me, Pastor Adam. You'd look at me and go, I'm not sitting next to you with that ugly toe. If you saw bare feet, you would not sit next to me. That's how some of us came to church today. Your pain is covered up. Nobody knows you got ugly in there. Except the Holy Spirit. When you think about it for a minute, God brought us together this morning for an eternal purpose. Not just to attend church on the 13th of December. God has a bigger plan in mind. If you're looking for comfort today, you're going to receive it. But like Anna, you might be looking for redemption. I was thinking about Christmas the other day, and a lot of people say, you know, Christmas is forgiving. Well, that's true, but let's put a hyphen between the R and the G. Christmas is for giving others of their offenses. Some of us came to church this morning because we're carrying past hurt and pain, and you've got a shoe on it. And you don't even limp anymore because you've learned to walk with the pain. But you don't want to go into 2016 and carry that same offense into that new year like you did last year from 2014. Because you came to the right place today, because the one that not only can console you is here, the one that can redeem you is here. Now, redeem means to buy back. Redeem means to take one out of captivity. Anna, I don't know this for sure. I'm just reading into the scripture, but let's continue to look at this text. It tells us she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She knew no other man, but he died. Look at the next verse. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. That's a long time to live by yourself. Who did not depart from the temple. I mean, we turn the lights out, Hardy, and you close the doors. Guess what? Anna stays here. We come in to clean during the week. Anna, we have to have you pick up your feet, sweetheart. We got to sweep underneath where you're sitting. She never left the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Is there one more verse there? Verse 38. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now maybe, just maybe, after 7 years, she asked God this question. Why did my husband die and leave me a widow? I don't know if she had anger in her heart about that, unresolved issues about that. I have no thought about it. I don't know. But I do know this. She knew where she had to be in order for that to be remedied. Some of you might have been looking for other things, maybe pills or maybe alcohol or maybe promiscuity or some other lifestyle to dull the pain and to remedy the hurt inside of you. But today you're here, and what you've been looking for hasn't worked. It hasn't really caused the diminishment of that pain. But there's one here in this place today who can redeem that situation and can bring to you comfort, and his name is Jesus. Wow, when I think about that, that's kind of amazing, because the word redemption literally means captivity, restoration, and forgiveness. If she was looking for redemption, she was looking for forgiveness. Some of us need to look for forgiveness, not from other people, but we need to forgive them. Unforgiveness will hold us in bondage. Someone said it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person who offended us to die. It doesn't work that way. They don't even know you're suffering. They're going on with life. You're the one living with the pain every day. You need redemption. You need forgiveness. You need to be set free from your captivity. That's what Anna was looking for. I don't know, do you identify more with Simeon? Are you really hurting and need to be comforted? Or do you look more and identify with Anna this morning? You need to be redeemed. You need to be brought back out of captivity, out of bondage, out of something that's limited your scope of life. I remember some of mine that limited me, that caused poor self-esteem, that caused insecurity in my life, rejections. I needed to be redeemed from that. I needed to be bought back from that. You know why? Because it ruled my life. It limited me. It created a personality in me that wasn't me. It wasn't God's intent for me. Some of us came to church here today and you don't even know who you really are, because you've been living in this bondage. But that's going to change this morning, because Jesus is in the house. And I'm not saying that to hype you up or to somehow declare something that's not. No. I'm telling you by the authority of God's word. When Simeon came to the church that day, Joseph and Mary showed up with the baby Jesus. And he was the comforter. When Anna woke up that morning, Joseph and Mary came into the door, through the doors, with the baby Jesus. And he is the Redeemer. Now here's what I'm going to ask you to do. The next few minutes, I want you to make a commitment with me that going into 2016, you're going to up your game a little bit. I just got to tell you, I'm guilty. But I've got to tell you, generally the church, we really don't marvel at God anymore. The word of God's become mundane. It becomes boring. It's almost like going to church. Yeah, what am I going to miss? Nothing. Of course you're not going to miss anything, because you didn't come expecting to receive anything. Why? Because you lost your marble. I didn't say marbles. Did you understand my accent? Marvel. Look with me, please. Verse 33 of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 33 reads this way. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I'm looking for the day when I read the Bible and go, whoa, I marvel at that Jesus. When he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, I'm like, marvel. when I'm running short on my money and I hear him say, I'll meet all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm like, marvel! We got to get our marvel back. They marveled, astonished at every word that was spoken. When you marvel at what God says, you don't worry about how it's going to come to pass. You leave the natural, how am I going to figure this out, logical realm, and you cross over into a supernatural realm. For example, in Luke 1, when Mary was visited by the angel and said, hey, blessed art thou among women, you're about to have a baby. And she's like, marvel. And she slipped back and she said, but I don't know a man. She lost her marvel for a minute. And then the Holy Spirit said, don't worry about that. I mean, the angel said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, she said, marvel. And you know, she stayed in her marvel the entire time because she allowed God to bring to pass what he said, and she didn't have to figure it out and work it out and try to make it happen. Listen, don't try to make things happen because you can. Some of us are very gifted people. Abraham had the plumbing to make the promise happen. He lost his marbles, a marble, and went in the tent with Hagar. Why? Because he could. That's why God said, come out of your tent, look up at the skies, get your marble back. Try to count them for me. Can you count them? No. Marble. Stay there, Abraham, because when you lose your marvel, you begin to try to work things out on your own. You try to make things happen on your own. The church needs to get our marvel back at everything God says. We need to say, oh God, how marvelous are your words to me, your servant. Can we try that? You want to get like really aggressive this morning? Let's just lift our hands and say, God, your word is marvelous. Come on. Your word is marvelous. Oh, let's shout it. Come on. Your word is marvelous. Now, if I didn't think some of you would probably abuse your neighbor, I'd have you turn to them, grab them by the lapel and say, God's word is marvelous. But I don't want you to do that because some of you would hurt somebody. We got to get our marvel back. We got to begin to see and being filled. Here's a definition. Filled with wonder, astonishment, and surprise. Recently, I was ordering a cup of coffee. There was a young lady there, and just an average-looking girl. And anyway, I said, hi, how's your day going? How are you? She goes, okay. I said, that's not good enough. She looked up at me and said, excuse me? I said, I don't know about you, but I live a life that I'm looking for surprises that what God's going to do today. So okay is not good enough. I did. I said that to her. And I know she's not watching. Her name is Devin. I said, Devin, that's an incredible name. I said, let's work on your okay. I said, so what can we say about your day that's going to get it up one notch from okay? She goes, I don't know. I said, how about this? She had her hair pulled from the one side over to the other and a braid, a long braid on the one side. I said, and the Holy Spirit helped me because I didn't know what to tell her. I'm like, oh, help me, God. I said, Devin, I like your braid is incredible. Did you do that yourself? I said, the way you pull that over and it's hanging down like that, that's a real statement. And you know what she did? She went, you think so? I said, we moved it from okay, didn't we? She goes, yeah, you did. Now, she's probably 20 years old. A couple days later, I went in there to get another cup of coffee. I drink a lot of coffee. I went in there and I said, Devin, I said, you are sporting that braid again. She went, all right. I don't know. She did something with her hands. What does she do? What does that mean? I don't know. Cool, like I'm all, like boss. I went, I went back to her. You know, I'm determined that I'm not going to live my life on any other level but marble. I don't care if it's going into the store to get a coffee or meeting somebody at work or your family member or whatever. Determine right now. You are marvelous. I am marvelous. That man up there preaching, he's marvelous. Because Jesus is marvelous, right? All right, now here's, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to give God a shout and a praise and a marvelous Thanksgiving clap offering. Can we do that to Jesus? Come on. How marvelous is he? Yeah. Woo! How marvelous are you, God? You are awesome. You are marvelous. Your word is incredible, Jesus. Woo! You are marvelous, Lord. You are marvelous. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Marvelous. You're going to work it out, God. You're going to do it. Woo! Woo! Can you imagine Mary after she met with the Holy Spirit? She goes home. She goes, I'm having a baby. I'm having a baby. And they're like, what? 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 Do you want to be stoned right here? No, 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 not like that, Mom. She entered into the land of marvel. Look at verse 27, same text, Luke 2. I only got a couple more things to say. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. You know, you just got to get that, because Simeon refused to stay where he was. He moved. He was a mover. When the Holy Spirit prompts you, move. If he prompts you to go over to someone and give them a kind word, go do it. Move. Don't think about it. Don't hesitate. You know, I told you this story, I think, of my physical therapist, Frank. I liked Frank, but Frank hurt me. I'm done with Frank right now until I see my doctor next week. And if I have to go back to Frank, I'm not going to like it. I finished 12 weeks of therapy. And Frank and I became well acquainted. The Holy Spirit moved on me after he told me he likes fishing, to buy him a gift card to the Bass Pro Shop or Bro Bass Shop or whatever it is, and tell him thank you for hurting me. And I'm like, God, that's not you. That's stupid. Do you ever have a prompting of the Holy Spirit and you just brushed it off? You just weren't, you were moved by the Holy Spirit, but you just said, ah. This will happen to me a lot with scripture or thoughts, and I'll get a thought. I'm thinking, wow, that was good. And then I just go about my day. Holy Spirit says, excuse me, I just moved on you. I'm like, I know, you'll move again. No, not like that. Are you going to remember that? I'm like, probably not. Oh, is that how we roll? And I have to start writing these things down. I have to write it down because God moved on me to say not joy to the world, joy to your world. That was a moving of the Holy Spirit. And I had to write that down. Why? Because I had to repeat that to somebody. Because I know that that was a word prompted of the moving of the Holy Spirit that's going to set somebody free. But if I don't move when he moves, then you won't get moved. Look at somebody and say, I'm just a mover. Now, I'm not going to ask you to be a shaker because you're going to hurt somebody. So don't do that. But in Matthew 1:24, Joseph dreamed a dream when the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to move on you and I'm going to tell you, take Mary as your wife. He woke up and he moved and took her as his wife. Some of us have come to church this morning and the Holy Spirit has moved on you to do certain things and you're not moving. And the reason why we don't move is because we don't marvel anymore. When you get your marvel of all that God says, whenever he moves, you'll be like, yes, sir. So I'm getting ready to get the gift card, and I'm thinking 10 bucks is cool, you know, after all the guys hurting me. And God said, that's not what I told you. I said, I didn't hear what you told me. He goes, you did. You just acted like you didn't hear me. I'm like, God, I'm getting the card. I'm going to get the gift card. I'm going to give it to Frank. I said, make it 50 bucks. I said, I don't even know Frank. 50 bucks. Christmas is coming. What am I going to give 50 bucks for? But anyway, I give him the card, right? My next therapy session, I say, hey, Frank, this is for you. God just told me to give this to you. I'm, you know, witnessing and stuff. Next session, I get in there. We had the session. Frank didn't say anything about the card. I'm like, that's cool. He just probably forgot. Next session, Frank ain't mentioning this $50 gift certificate that Holy Ghost had to move on me to go do, right? Next session, nothing. Next session, nothing. I finished my sessions. It's my last session. And Frank hasn't said anything about the card. And as I'm walking to the car, the Lord says to me, does Frank move you more than I do? I'm like, God, don't preach. I mean, because you know what? I don't need to hear that sermon right now. He goes, you needed him to say thank you, that you didn't have to do that, and that was awesome of you, and you're like the best patient I ever had, and you're like right in there with me, and we're buds now, right? You needed him to say that. But for me to say that to you wasn't enough. Oh my God, that is absolutely not fair. That is not fair. He said, there was a day when I didn't have to do that to you. But by now, because of your maturity level, you should be operating this way without question. You should be satisfied that I told you to do it and you did it, and that should be enough movement in your life. You shouldn't need the response or the accolades of people or even what they say or do. I said, I know, God, but that's not that easy. He said, do you want to marvel? Yes. Do you want to be a mover? Yes. There were these wise guys from the east, and they had this prophecy about this star. And the prophecy was that when you see this star, follow it, because it's going to lead you to a Messiah. Now, these were people of authority. These were kings. These weren't like your second-rate folks, you know. So they marveled at the prophecy. They saw the witness of what was spoken, and it moved them to follow this star. My challenge to us today is, do we marvel on a level that when God speaks, it will move us until we see the fulfillment of what's been promised? My goodness. I said, God, make me a mover. I want to be a mover in this generation. But in this text, we find one more M. May I suggest it to you? See, without it, all it is Xmas to you this year. But with these three M's, it becomes Christmas or Christmas. You marvel at his word, you're moved on by the Holy Spirit, and you become his messenger. I've already read it, but it's in Luke 2 and verse 38, Anna's response. If you'll look at it with me one more time in Luke chapter 2 and 38. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. In other words, look what the Lord has done. I've been in this house for 84 years. I lost my husband after 7 years of marriage. I was married as a virgin. I have been in this place praying and fasting and looking for the redemption of Israel. But let me tell you something. God healed my body. He healed my mind. He saved me just in time. Look what the Lord hath done. In other words, she went throughout the temple and she said, hey, Jesus saves, heals, and delivers. She became his messenger. Look, you can't help it. If you get your marvel back, you're going to be moved on by the Holy Spirit. You're going to be driving along. You're going to say, I think we should go over here. Why? Why? Tina said this to me this morning. She said something, and I know it was the Holy Spirit. She like hears the voice of God a lot. Sometimes she hears it for me because I'm not listening. And we got a long day. We got this service, and then we have another thing, 6 o'clock tonight. And she said, after tonight, I think we should go to one of our elderly, knock on her door and sing Christmas carols. See, listen to you all. I'm like, I'm going to be tired at 10 o'clock tonight. After being gone all day, preach two services under the anointing of God. And you want me to take cookies and sing a Christmas carol to an elderly woman of great age? She said, yeah, I think Holy Spirit is telling us to do it. I'm like, if he moved on you, then you move. I'm going home to bed. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes God's moving isn't that comfortable. Sometimes your ability to marvel doesn't make sense because you can't figure it out. And sometimes to declare his message, it feels like your mouth is just sewn shut. But we've got to step up our game going into this new year. If you're waiting for the holidays, you're waiting for Christmas, oh my, wait for something much greater. If you're here this morning looking for comfort, the Comforter is here. If you're here this morning looking for redemption from your captivity, from your bondage, from your disappointments in life, from a release of hurt and pain others may have caused you, I've got to tell you, like Anna told the entire temple, the Redeemer is here. And he can redeem your life and redeem your situation. Let me just ask this question. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but you just acknowledge it if you need to. You came here this morning and say, hey, preacher, you know what? I could probably use some comforting in my life because I'm pretty messed up right now with some situations, or I'm having some difficulty in my life. And yeah, I feel alone. Truth be told, I feel alone. I'm depressed. There's some things in my life that I can use some comforting for. You know, if it resonates with you, can you put your hand up and you say, yeah, that's me? Okay, hands up all over. Or what about this? What about, you say, yeah, well, I don't need comfort, but you know what I need a release from the bondages that I've been under. Sometimes I can't get these thoughts out of my head that tell me that I'm going to die. Or I can't get these thoughts out of my head that tell me that nobody likes me. And I'm living my life based on this lie, and I can't stand it anymore. I can't sleep at night. It keeps me awake. I can't forget how that person hurt me. I just can't get it. I cannot forgive them. But you can. When the Redeemer can buy back that situation. See, up until this point, you've been trying to pay the price for that wrong, and it'll never be enough. But if you'll let him, Jesus Christ, pay the price, he can release you from that bondage of guilt or that bondage of hurt. How many here would say, you know what? I need some things redeemed in my life. How about that's your hand? Boy, hands all over. Well, you've come to the right place today. Friend, not because I'm here, because I am nothing. Not because the music was great, and it was. But you're here because Jesus moved on you through the Holy Spirit to be here at the very moment that Christ was being ushered into this house. We have come in Jesus' name today. We have not come in the name of Allah or the name of Buddha or the name of Hare Krishna or name of anything else. We've come in the name of Jesus Christ. According to Acts chapter 4 and 12, there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. That's why we're here today under the auspices of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is in the room. And when Jesus comes in the room, everything changes. So if you'll bow your heads with me right now, you're hanging between two decisions. Some of you are thinking this, you know, I would like to give my life to Christ, but that's one decision. The other decision is, I don't think he'll accept me, and you're in the middle. Some of you may be thinking, you know what, I don't know that I can give up this stuff. I don't know that I can, but I don't know if God will forgive me. You're hanging between two decisions. But let me tell you this day, do not waver between two decisions. There is no sin too great that he cannot forgive. And there is no situation too difficult that God cannot heal. For he is the comforter and he is the redeemer. And if you'll put your faith and trust in him today, God will meet you right at your greatest point of your need. So nobody looking around, I'm going to ask you this question. If you want heaven and not hell, you want eternal life, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came and died upon the cross to redeem mankind, make a way back to the Father. The Bible says there's but one mediator between God and man, and that be the man, Christ Jesus. I want to tell you today that God loves you so much that he arranged for you to be here today when he showed up because he loves you. Hey, comfortless one. Hey, Simeon. God came for you. Hey, disappointed one, Anna. The long-standing pain and sorrow, he's come for you. That's right, for you. You say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. I want to be included in that prayer, and I'm going to do just that. And here's what I'd like for you to do. It's a simple gesture, just an acknowledgement of your need. I'm going to count to three, and then on the number three, if you want that prayer, you want heaven and you want hell, you want God and not the devil, you want hope and not disappointment, then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, just put it up high enough for me to see it. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Thank you. About five or six hands that went up. Four, five, six, seven. Seven hands that went up. Thank you. Eight hands that went up. Thank you, sweetheart. You can put it down there in the front row. Now, Christians, I want you to pray because this is a moment where some of us who have already received our comfort and have already experienced our redemption are now trying to introduce people who are in desperate need. So we're going to intercede for them. We're going to pray for them. This is a God eternal moment right now. Now, if you've already raised your hand, don't do it again. But if you're still hanging between those two decisions, thinking that what you've done is so bad, God could never forgive. And that keeps coming back in my mind. And you're hanging in the middle of that and you can't make a choice. I want to tell you and assure you that God can forgive any sin and wrong. And you are qualified through the grace of God, just like Grandma Rose saying earlier, mercy said no. You're not going to go to hell. You're not going to be cast out. You're going to be brought in as a part of the family of God. Now, no one else looking around. If you already raised your hand, don't do it again. But if you didn't and you say, Pastor, include me in that prayer, I want you to throw that hand up high enough for me to see it right now. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, way over there. Thank you. God bless you. You can put it down. Anyone else? Is there anyone else? All right. This is our moment. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. This morning in the first service, we had 14 people that acknowledged their need for Christ. I think we're right about 9 right now in this meeting. And God's going to meet you at the point of your need. Understand that. God's going to meet you at the point of your need. Here's what I'd like us to do. Would you please stand? And you guys sang that song when he came into the room or something, everything changes. Could you sing that? Anyway, here's what I want to do. Altar ministers, come on, Janice, bring your team. Come with great smiles and faith on your hand. Everybody stand up. And as we sing, I want you to come. If you raise your hand for salvation there, I want you to come, all 9 of you. Find somebody to pray with. Christians, would you just encourage them by giving them a hand clap? Come on, come on, come on. Go ahead and see him. When he walks. Come on, worship with me, church.
Everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring when you walk into the room.
It's important that we worship
Every
him. Come on, let's offer worship to Jesus, please.
And nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
Now would you look to somebody on your right or your left and say, look, if you raise your hand, I'll go with you. Take them by the hand and bring them. Would you do that? Come on, we're going to sing it one more time. Thank you. Sing it. Come on.
And we love you. We'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. Christmas season. We're going to be here on December 23rd for a pre-Christmas Eve service. I'll be preaching. And then on December 31st, a New Year's Eve service, I'll be giving you a few predictions for 2016. I didn't say prophecies, although some of them just might be. But God moved on me to give some for the next year. I want to share those as well. 24-hour prayer. I don't know if you know this. For some time now, every Saturday, there's prayer that goes 24 hours prior to the service here all night long. And we want you to be involved
Lynn and the team are out in the foyer. You can sign up to be a part of that 24-hour prayer. We also do it on midweek, where Tuesday we begin praying for 24 hours for Wednesday night. People were praying during the service, many of those that gave their life to Christ, as a result of the intercession of the saints. So please see Lynn out there, get a time slot. Here's how we do it. If you're praying between 2 and 3, at 3 o'clock, you call the person that's praying from 3 to 4. And you say, "Hi, this is Lou. I just want to know, are you awake? Okay, tag, you're it. Oh, this is what God was showing me in this last hour. Continue to pray. All right, got it. Good night, good night." Then that person at 4 calls the person for 4 to 5. "Hey, how are you? Are you awake?" "Yeah, I'm awake. This is what God's been showing the team tonight. Continue to pray. Good night." "Okay, got it." 5 o'clock, you call the person for 5 to 6, and we continue to do that. So thank you for your intercession. Those of you that have been praying, God bless you. Sign up on the way out. And I just want Pastor Adam to pray, but especially for Jenna. Jenna has not been well. She's under attack physically, his wife. And so I just want us to agree in prayer. Would you lead the prayer, close the service, and pray for her as well? And then say goodbye. All right.
Jesus. Oh, Lord, we just come before you. We just ask for just healing for my wife. Lord, though we've only been married for a short time, we've been together for a very long time. Lord, you know that I need my wife with me all the time. So I ask you, Lord, to just heal her, to touch her body. Lord, for her to come out 100%. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you are a God that heals. Lord, you are a good God, and I thank you, Father. Lord, may the rest of our week, may we dwell and may our minds be set towards you. May everything that we do be a gift unto you, that people can see in our heart and in our lives, waiting to unwrap the gifts that you've put inside us for them. Lord, we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful week. Love you guys.